up to now. I see y'all over there writing how many times that we've said the word God. Yep. And Jesus. How long y'all think I can keep their head down like that? We must be aware. This afternoon, I was studying and praying, and I really struggled. And this may be more of a lesson tonight than it is a message. And the reason I say that is when we were in verse number 6 of John chapter number 1, you can go ahead and turn John chapter number 1, that's where we're going to be. We covered, because of John 1 verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We covered verses 19 through 34 because it describes John the Baptist and talks about him. And my original plan was to just jump over it and go really on down into, I guess, about verse number 43 or 44. But as I read and I studied this afternoon and just trying to prepare for tonight and didn't really have any notes and don't have any notes, so I'm just kind of going off what I've studied and trying to retain what I've studied and how I've listened to. I think one of the best ways that we can get the Word of God in us is to inundate ourselves with the Word of God. And so there are times that instead of listening to music, I listen to the Word of God. Yesterday, when I was mowing some grass, I had my little earphones in, and I was riding around there, and I was listening to the Book of John. Amen. And so that acquaints you well with it. But in verses 1 through 18, which we've preached through over the past few weeks, that's kind of the prologue, or it is the prologue, of the book of John. And so when you get to verse number 19, it kind of switches, and he goes to talking about the record of John and John the Baptist and what happens between him and the Pharisees. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. We'll read 19 down through 28, and then I'll just try and help you and also help me to understand better. Verse number 19 says, "And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?'" Or can I say this? "Elijah? Are thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias.' And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing.'" We'll stop reading right there. Father, please bless the reading of your word. Please help me tonight. Recall to my mind what I've studied. Lord, give me the right words to say. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Looking back at verse number 19, this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" Now, the term Jews is different from what would have been used, Israelites. It's actually a derogatory term. And I know that it is normal and that's what we hear and it's what we use, but it was not meant to be a flattering term for God's people. It was actually a name that was given, and this is written 85, 90 years after Jesus walked the face of the earth, and it was a name that was actually given as I said, a derogatory term to refer to the rulers or the chief priest or any of the Pharisees or the Sadducees, the ones who knew the law. That's that term that was there. And so John has given us the record of when those who were sent from the priest and the Levites came to John the Baptist. We have this record here that John the Baptist did what he was called to do. He confessed and he did not deny that he was not Christ. See, in that moment, John could have stolen the glory, I guess you could say, and taken it for himself. I mean, the things that they were hearing, they were thinking, this man is incredible. He's a lot like Elijah. I can see where they would have mistaken him for Elijah. Matter of fact, the Bible prophesied in the book of Malachi, I believe it's Malachi chapter number 4, that Elijah would come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And so they were looking for him. Also in Matthew 17:10, I don't have that. I need to turn over there and read that real quick. I did not mark it, but I want to read that to you real quick. And you can mark it and turn over there and read it with me, absolutely, because I want you to know your Bible. But in Matthew 17, and let's see here, verse number 10, and the disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So I can see where they think this and why they were thinking this and why that the Jews wanted to know, because they were very familiar with the Old Testament. They knew the Scripture. They knew Malachi and what he had said. They knew Deuteronomy and what the book of Deuteronomy says about that prophet. I don't know if you guys noticed that when we were reading, there was a distinction made there. Are you Elijah or Elias, or are you that prophet? And so in the book of Deuteronomy, there is an unnamed prophet that will come and that is prophesied, and that's who they were asking about. Who are you, man? You're preaching with such fire. I mean, this guy, John the Baptist, stood in King Herod's court and told him, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time that I checked, if you're willing to call somebody out for adultery publicly, you're a pretty hard person. You know, we like to think of, hey, let's do it, go to them in love and deal with them. And man, John the Baptist is standing in the king's court and makes it, and because of this, John the Baptist lost his head, quite literally. You guys know that story and you understand that, but when the Jews first came to him, he had an opportunity to say, I am Christ, or yes, I'm the one, but he didn't. He denied, I'm not him. Neither am I the Elijah, I'm not the prophet. And when they asked him that, he just simply said no. He didn't really go into detail with them. And then they said unto them, "Who art thou that we can give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And so they were more worried about who he was, what his pedigree was, than they were about hearing and accepting the message that he was bringing. See, that's a problem. When we hear someone speak boldly, we want to know who they are and where they came from rather than the message that they're bringing. Because the message that they're bringing doesn't sit well with us. It sure don't fall on our ears very easy, does it, to hear that we need a Savior, to hear that we're a sinner, to hear that we're ungodly, that we're unholy, that we're unthankful, to hear that we're the ones that are not right with God. That doesn't sit well on our ears, and it surely doesn't feel good to understand and realize exactly what our condition is. That's the message. But the messenger, so that's what we do. We take the focus off of the message and put it on the messenger. Well, I'll find something wrong with him. I'll find something that they did. You let somebody fail, that has lived a godly life, you let somebody fail, and undoubtedly a well-intentioned Christian brother or sister will say, "Ah, I knew it." That's what they were looking for. A way to discredit, because they knew that they weren't concerned about who he was. They weren't concerned about where he came from. And by the way, don't we read that his dad was Zechariah the high priest? They knew exactly who John the Baptist was. They knew his pedigree. They understood where he came from. They just didn't like the message that he was bearing. And so they ask him, "What do you say for yourself? What kind of answer can you give us? Because we got to go and we got to report to our bosses." They had to go back to the court of the Sanhedrin and explain to all those people that were saying all these things. And I want to say this, going back to them thinking that he was Elijah. When you read about Elijah the Tishbite, one, we don't know who the Tishbites were, and we don't really know who Elijah was. Elijah, and you will find this out here in just a couple of weeks when you're reading your Bible and you get in the book of 1 Kings. When you get to 1 Kings 17, a character walks out of the pages of time and onto the pages of the Word of God. He is Elijah the Tishbite, and we only read of him in two or three other places in the Word of God, and yet he has a complete impact on the entire Word of God. So much so that I personally believe he's going to come back and he's going to stand and do some street preaching one day, him and a man named Moses. Amen? But y'all okay? I believe that's coming. Amen? And so I can totally see them looking for Elijah because he just kind of steps out into the pages of the Word of God, and he becomes this great character that does some wonderful things and is mightily used of God. And the same thing with John the Baptist. He is seemingly anonymous, and then one day he is in the wilderness saying, "Hey, make straight the way of the Lord. Get right with God. Repent. Do what God wants you to do." And all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, we don't like what this guy's got to say." Exactly how Ahab and his people were. There's a lot of similarities there. I would even venture out to say that the reason those similarities there is not because the two men were alike, but because they served the same God. And his message does not change from generation to generation. So, what sayest thou of thyself? He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." What are you, John? Are you Elijah? Nope. Are you that prophet? Nope. What are you? I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice. If you don't remember anything about John the Baptist, remember that he was just a voice. That was his self-estimation. I am just a voice. I am no more important than that. I've been eating honey. I've been eating locusts. I'm wearing a loincloth, a leathern girdle about me. I don't have anything nice. I don't have anywhere. I'm a lot like the Son of God. I don't have anywhere to lay my head. So what are you, John? I mean, you got some strong words to say. And he says, "I am just the voice. I'm just somebody willing to be used of God." It doesn't take a great deal of talent or ability. It just takes obedience and submittal to God. That's what made John the Baptist great, is that he did what God called him to do. That's what made John the Baptist among the least in heaven. It's not that John the Baptist was a great orator. We don't read anywhere where people praised him for his oratory skills. We don't read anywhere where people talked about how great a guy John the Baptist was and how cool he was to hang out with. We don't read anywhere. If anything, we read, "Hey, there's a nutcase screaming in the woods." And the Bible says that he was among the least in heaven. So what are you, John? I'm just one crying in the wilderness. Now whether or not you'll hear me, that's up to you. Whether or not you're listening, that's up to you. And he went ahead and threw his message in, "Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias." Here I am, I'm telling you what Isaiah said now. Now, isn't that something? This crazy guy knew the scripture. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, they said, "Well, why are you baptizing? What's the purpose of baptizing if thou be not the Christ or Elijah or neither the prophet?" So if you're not Messiah, if you're not the anointed one of God, and you're not Elijah, and you're not that prophet that will come, well, why are you even doing this? And I like John's answer that he says to him, "I baptize with water." Did you know that the man called of God does not answer to people? He doesn't. John the Baptist did not have to stand and give an account. He didn't have to tell them why he was doing what he was doing. He was being obedient to the Father. He said, "I'm baptizing with water." And he said, "There's one that standeth among you." He's already here. There's one that's already here who you know not. They didn't know who Jesus was. Now, of course, we're going to read in John chapter number 2, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've got some anxiety about John chapter number 2 because there's a definite thing I'm going to have to cover in there that some of you is going to agree with me on, some of you ain't going to agree with me on. That'll be okay. We're going to go with the Word of God. But I'll cross that bridge when I get there. Amen. Jesus has not yet performed his first miracle. Jesus has not yet, his hour has not yet come, is what Jesus tells his mother in John chapter number 2. And so he's already there. He's already being prepared for the ministry that God has called him to do. And John the Baptist is preaching. He is the forerunner of Jesus. He's preaching the same message that Jesus is going to preach. And he says to them, "There is one that standeth among you, and you don't even know who he is. And he who it is, because I'm just a voice, is coming after me, is preferred before me." And he says, "Whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose." I'm not even worthy to bend down and untie his shoes. I'm not even good enough for that. I see in these few verses a humble man who was just simply willing to be used of God. And because of his willingness to be used of God, he's being questioned by the authorities of that day. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. Now, John gives us a record of the location. I'm going to say this. I apologize. I have not studied the significance of the location yet. Give me some time. We was getting pretty close to choir practice time. Y'all all right? Well, as we were inching on down when we got around John 26, we was about 4:15 this afternoon, so we was getting ready to leave. But he tells us the location. I believe it's a significant place, and y'all give me a few days, and Lord willing, we'll find out exactly what the significant was. I got to throw 29 in there because it's one of my favorite verses, and I'll be done here in just a minute. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." What an introduction, amen? What an introduction. I believe that's all that I need to say. I'm gonna, y'all not disagreeing with me. I like that, amen? I appreciate you. I'm going to end this like we do a Wednesday night. Just have a word of prayer, and then we'll go further. I appreciate you. I love you, and I'm grateful for you being here. Brother Billy, dismiss us, please, sir. Billy, right here, Billy.